falling deeper in love with you. You've burned this truth in our land. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all.
Friends, welcome to worship today on this first Sunday in July. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we do on the first Sunday of the month, we have communion. If you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, please do that now. And let's hear the land acknowledgement.
We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada.
Let's declare our intentions of coming here together to worship God by saying the call to worship. We have been called the salt of the earth. Let us remain distinctive and salty. We have been called the light of the world. Let us shine brightly in the midst of pain or confusion. We have been called a city set on a hill. Let us, like Jerusalem, lift our gates, lift our hearts, lift our voices in the worship of God. And as we do that, we light the Christ candle, reminding ourselves that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Let's worship in prayer. Creator God, you call us to love and serve you with body, mind, and spirit. Open our hearts in compassion to love and serve our sisters and brothers as you have called each of us to do. In the saving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, let's bring our brokenness before God's mercy. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Holy God, we open our hearts to you this day and offer the truth of our lives, the fear that stifles us, the prejudice that blinds us, the ignorance that hobbles us,
the doubts that plague us. We ask that you would help us to find courage in unlikely places and to see the world with new and gracious eyes. Help us to move to those places where love is needed and to have faith that you are with us as we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, in God's kingdom, all are loved for who they are, not for what they do. In God's kingdom, all are forgiven for what they do and for what they don't do. In God's kingdom, all are welcomed and fed by God's grace and God's hope. So forgiven, loved, sent forth, we are not far from God's kingdom. This is the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, as we prepare to gather at Jesus' table to celebrate the sacrament of communion, let's confess our faith together by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 and 16 to 20, the English Standard Version. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, our reading began with a verse that is actually a significant marker in Luke's story. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. From that point on, we know that Jesus had one goal in mind, Jerusalem, and the cross that he knew awaited him there. It would take quite some time for Jesus to get to Jerusalem, and much of the rest of Luke's gospel tells us the story of that journey. Last week, we heard that when Jesus was getting ready to go through Samaria, he sent a couple of his disciples on ahead of him to make preparations for his arrival. This week, we have heard about a much larger group of people being sent out. This time, it was a group of 70, or 72, depending on which translation you use. They were sent out to every town and place where Jesus was about to go. And again, these people were going ahead of Jesus. Clearly, his plan was to visit those places after his followers had spent some time there and had then returned to him. Jesus explained what he wanted his followers to do when they got to the towns that he was sending them to. They were to offer his peace to the people who were living in the houses they were staying in, and to remain with their hosts if that peace was welcomed. But if it wasn't, Jesus told them to move on and find another place to stay. They were to accept the hospitality that was offered to them, to pray for and cure the sick, and they were to tell everyone they met, both those who welcomed them and those who didn't, that God's kingdom was coming near. Stories like this one remind us of a key aspect of the Christian faith. Jesus sends his followers. It's what he does. We saw it in our reading last week, and we see it again here. The numbers he is sending are clearly increasing this time, and it seems that he wants to send even more. As he was preparing these 70 people, he told them to pray and to ask God to send more help. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, it is easy to miss the implications of what Jesus is saying, and I confess to you that I actually have missed it until now. Jesus isn't saying, send to head office and tell them to send more trained, qualified workers out to help us here. He was the head office, and the workers he had at that point were pretty much all there with him. They were the 70 people he was preparing to send out. So when he said that they should pray and ask God to send more workers, he was really saying that they should pray and ask God to call more people to follow Jesus, more people who could themselves then join in the work his followers were undertaking. Draw more people to Jesus, God, so they can join us in the mission Jesus is sending us on. Do you see the implications in this? It means that all who sign on with Jesus will find themselves being sent by him as well. Everyone who follows Jesus is sent by him, period. Now, I'm not sure that we always do a great job of making that clear. Heck, I'm not sure we even do a great job of understanding it ourselves. Sometimes we live and we function as if being sent by Jesus is something special that only happens to a select few of his followers, rather than being something that is part of this life of following Jesus for everyone who chooses it. Here at St. Stephen's, we have had occasions when we have quite intentionally and publicly acknowledged people being sent by Jesus. We used to do this by praying for and sending out our mission teams before they went to Mexico to build homes. And we've had other people who have gone out to do ministry and mission in Jesus' name, and we have prayed for them and sent them. Even last Sunday, we gathered around one of our number who was moving away, and we prayed for and asked God to bless her as she went. And we acknowledged that she will be following him and asked that he would lead her to continue the ministry she's been doing throughout her years that she's been here amongst us. We prayed and we sent her out. But the truth is that being sent by Jesus is not something that only happens on select occasions to special people. We are all sent by him. And friends, whether you intentionally hear and think about this each Sunday or not, we are all sent out of here at the end of our services every week, sent in Jesus' name to live out our calling as his people. That's what we do every Sunday when you stand at the end of the service and I or whoever is preaching speaks words of both blessing and benediction over you. The blessing is God's blessing to you. The benediction is your instructions for the week. In much the same way as Jesus issued his instructions to the 70 people he was sending out in our reading today. We are all sent every week. So my question is, how does that make you feel? I suspect that some of us might be excited at the prospect, but others of us might feel some level of angst or nervousness, or maybe even denial. No, not me. I couldn't possibly be sent out by Jesus. Well, if the idea that Jesus wants to send you out to join in his mission, if that seems a little bit daunting, it might help to look at the instructions that he gave to the people in our reading today. I suspect that when we imagine being sent out by Jesus, we generate all sorts of images in our minds. Maybe images of people preaching, expounding on Jesus and his teachings, on his life and his death and his resurrection. We might imagine people being miraculously healed as soon as someone lays hands on them and prays for them. We might imagine theologically complicated ideas being communicated with eloquence and power by people who know their scriptures inside out and sideways. And while any or all of those things may have happened at some point in time or another, I don't think they're probably the norm. Nor are they what Jesus always expects when he sends his people out. Remember, he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And knowing us as he does, he still sends us out each week to share the life and the love that we have found in him in and through our lives. One of the commentaries that I read this week summarized Jesus' instructions to these 70 folks, and I dare say his instructions to us. And they summarized it by saying this. They said, Jesus tells them and us to give of themselves and to point to the presence of God. Give of themselves and point to God's presence. That's what they were doing, and it's what Jesus calls us to do. Now, there are many ways that that can happen, but for today, let me pick one way that is actually talked about in our story and that I think might speak to many of us. We know that as the 70 went, they came across sick people who needed healing, and Jesus had commissioned them to cure the sick, to pray for God to heal them. We might be commissioned to do the same. In fact, friends, many of us do this all the time. to the point that it may actually nearly be a daily practice for some of us. We hear of someone who is ill, and we make a mental note to keep them in our prayers. We might even tell them that we'll do this, which honestly most often receives a grateful thank you. Telling someone you're going to be praying for them is most often seen as an act of kindness. Sometimes we even put people on our intercessory prayer list so that a team of people from St. Stephen's who are dedicated to praying each week on behalf of others can lift our friends' situations to God and ask Him to heal, to intervene, to care for and comfort and bring peace to them. And I think all of that falls under the category of what Jesus sends His people to do here, curing the sick. And if you really think about it, in doing this, we're actually doing both of those things Jesus sends us to do. We are giving of ourselves through our prayers and through our commitment to pray. And we are pointing to God's presence. By our example, we are gently and respectfully proclaiming our belief and our trust that God is real and alive and active in our world. Even more, we are telling our friends that we believe in a God who cares about them and a God who listens to our prayers for them. As Jesus said here, we are gently telling them that we truly believe that God is near and that He can and will meet them at their point of need. And my friends, that kind of honest expression of love and care is certainly one entirely valid and authentic way that we can proclaim God's kingdom to the people we encounter each day. This doesn't need to be complicated. And you don't need to try to be someone you truly aren't. In fact, please don't try to be someone you're not. That's not what God wants. Jesus has sent you. He has sent you to the people you interact with. And even more, just as was the case here in our story today, whether you realize it or not, you may just be going ahead of Him. Which means that before long, He might show up in their lives in some other way, coming to them Himself. And the kindness that you have shown them may be one of the things that helps them dare to trust that Jesus might really be real, and more importantly, that He might really care about and love them. Your kindness might be the thing that helps them to recognize and to welcome Jesus when He comes to them personally. And friends, that's exactly why He sends us out every week, really, every day. Amen.
I have heard my people cry,
God who dwells in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your extraordinary universe, the beauty of it, as well as the remarkable intimacy of comfort and reassurance of your presence in each of our lives. We are enormously grateful for your involvement in our daily lives. Thank you for what you do for us, even in those times when we do not recognize it. We are grateful for the movement of those companies and countries who are quietly moving forward in transition from fossil fuels to energy-efficient methods. Help us to recognize those who continue to need our help after wildfire crises and to assist them in any way forward. There are people in our congregation who are struggling with the needs of family, who are suffering in pain and in sorrow. Fill our caregivers with the energy and compassion they need to provide caregiving as you desire us to do. Help each of us as friends to have the words, as well as the physical help and prayers to meet the needs of our friends who are suffering. We pray for our government needs from villages to our country, that we not be distracted by political points of view, but to recognize and implement policies which are both forward-thinking and grounded in frugal implementation. As well, help each of us to love our people and wildlife in the best way that is needed. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, let's gather now at Jesus' table and remember, all are welcome here. He would love to meet you there. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of light, giver of all life, source of love. In the beginning, your spirit moved over the waters, and your word brought all things into being. Through a burning bush, you spoke to your prophets and your people. With glowing coals, you touched their lips that they might speak your word of truth and justice. By fire and your spirit, you have guided us through days and nights of wilderness wandering. We give you thanks and praise, O God of wind and word, power and peace. Lover of all nations, although we have so often betrayed your promise and threatened your peace, you have never left us nor forsaken us. You sent us Jesus, your gift of grace, our Prince of Peace, light and flame. You poured out your Spirit upon us to create, renew, inspire, that all may be whole. We bless you, for your Spirit wraps us in your presence, drawing us closer in community. And so it is that we give your praise and thanks for your many gifts, joining with all your people, that as one body we may proclaim your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Mighty and tender God, in Jesus of Nazareth, we recognize the fullness of your grace, light, life, and love revealed in words that confront and comfort us, in teachings that challenge and change us, in compassion that heals and frees us. And now we gather at this table to remember and to be filled with such longing for your realm that we may rise together to turn our worship into witness and to follow in your way. We remember that when Jesus ate with friends, he took a loaf of bread and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me. And then he took a cup and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God made in my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me. Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace, remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, waiting in hope for his coming again. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving, we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this loaf and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. In this hope and as your people, we praise you through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Friends, will you join me in saying together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to consume the gifts of God in the places where you are today.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your healing power. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Spirit, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Spirit, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Having joined together in communion at Jesus' table, let's pray together again this time our prayer after communion. For the bread we have eaten, for the wine we have tasted, for the life we have received, we thank you, God. Grant that what we have done and have been given here may so put its mark on us that it may remain always in our hearts. Grant that we may grow in Christian love and understanding, and that ours may be lives of faithful action. In Christ's name, amen.
Giving thanks for all that God provides for each of us, let's offer back a portion of that to the building of his kingdom. Let's pray the offertory prayer together. As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is generous and gracious with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go forth from this place, refreshed and empowered to do the ministry to which God calls you. Travel lightly, for you carry within you all that you need. Notice God's presence in simple, everyday experiences. Whenever the opportunity arises, work for the good of all. And as you go, may the blessing of God, our Creator, of Jesus, our Healer, and of the Holy Spirit, our Life Giver, go with you today and remain with you always. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy